That is what makes democracy great. The power in a democracy is derived from the people. It resides in the people. These individuals that we have elected don't hold those seats in perpetuity.
Now, the Maggie Dawn Show continues.
Why are we cutting Medicaid, which is overwhelmingly popular with both Democrats and Republicans?
From Congress and courts to burgers and baseball.
You know what we need in the United States is more paperwork.
Once again, here's lawyer and economist Maggie Dawn.
Welcome, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. Welcome back if you're rejoining us. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Brewers log a win against the dastardly Chicago Cubs 4-1. That game ended just before we got on the air at 4 p.m. Brewers coming back to Milwaukee for a three-game homestand against the San Francisco Giants. Those games sure to be sold out and a bunch of fun, a Bob Uecker Memorial and Life Remembrance, Life Celebration on Sunday, Uecker Umbrella Giveaway. It's going to be a great weekend here in Milwaukee, weather looking spectacular. In other national news, this breaking just a few hours ago, the State Department and Donald Trump said Thursday that it's reviewing the records of more than 55 million foreigners who hold valid U.S. visas for potential revocation or deportable violations of immigration rules. In a written answer to a question posed by the Associated Press this afternoon, the department said that all U.S. visa holders are subject to, quote, continuous vetting with an eye toward any indication that they would be ineligible for a visa. Should such information be found, the department said the visa will be revoked, and if the visa holder is in the United States, he or she would be subject to deportation. 55 million? That should be an interesting review. In other breaking national news this afternoon, in case you missed it at the top of the show, a federal judge ruling that President Donald Trump's former lawyer, Alina Habba, has been unlawfully serving as the top federal prosecutor in New Jersey. The judge was pretty clear about this, saying that the administration used a series of novel legal and personnel moves to keep her in the job and concluding that she is not legally serving. He put that ruling on hold while appeals may proceed. So watch that space. That one's going to be a very interesting case. I think standing that was raised in that case is indisputable, which has been an issue in other legal matters, changing actions by the Trump administration, including certain personnel actions. Right now, it is my privilege and honor to bring back to the Maggie Dawn Show Metropolitan D.C. Police Officer Daniel Hodges. Welcome back, Daniel. It's great to have you.
Hey, Maggie. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for making time. I know you're going to work this evening. The president announcing today that he's going to be joining potentially D.C. police or National Guard while on patrol. Does that make your job easier? I would think not.
Yeah, I don't see how that would make my job easier. That just diverts a lot of resources that could be used elsewhere to his protection. And, you know, calling a patrol is inaccurate, I would say. You know, I don't think he's going to be taking any 911 calls. It's a photo op. He's going to be driving around looking, trying to look tough with the military. But no, that's not patrol.
Maybe a little cosplay a la Christy Gnome, you know, Ice Barbie. And folks, we just want to make clear, both for Daniel's sake and ours here at Civic Media, Officer Hodges appearing on the show today, of course, in his personal capacity, does not speak for D.C. Metro Police, just himself. I find the performative aspect of all of this has been deeply concerning for me. You're on the ground every day. You're going to work tonight. Has anything changed for you since Donald Trump deployed National Guards folks as well as other law enforcement? What is your day-to-day? Has it changed your day-to-day work? Or is it still the same chain of command? Tell us how it's going.
Yeah, for me personally, it hasn't really changed anything. I still take my orders from the same people. I still have the same assignment. And because of when and where I work in the city, it's very unlikely I'm going to find any federal officers or military personnel out there. So, you know, for me, it's business as usual, but obviously that's not the case citywide.
Have you heard from some of your colleagues? Have folks been concerned about this? What's the morale? What's the mood like for you and your folks, the frontline DC Metro police officers? What has their feeling been since Donald Trump announced this push in DC?
Well, I can really only speak for myself. MPD is a very diverse organization. So, you know, if you took a poll, you'd find a lot of different opinions. I think a lot of people imagine the police to be just one big conservative block, like a monolith. But what I found to be most surprising is how apolitical people are, the officers are, and how, well, this isn't really unique to officers or police, but essentially selfish. They're more worried about how this will affect them.
Ooh, Dan, your sound just blinked out. Ooh, I think we lost Dan. Oh, there, you're back. We lost you. You just said that, like most employees, when you show up for your job, you're more concerned about yourself and what your job consists of and getting paid fair and going to work safely, all those kinds of things. I don't want to speak for you, Dan. Please finish your thought.
Right. Yeah. So that's true for most people across every industry and profession. That's, you know, police are no different. So I think everyone's just wondering how this is going to affect them. I would love to see more concern about society as a whole, but it's not everyone's thinking at that level, I guess.
I just want to get your take. Donald Trump said that there's a set of new facts in DC. There's an emergency that needs federal government intervention. What's your take on that, Dan? Is there something different about DC in these last few weeks than in December or even last year at this time? Is there, in fact, a crime emergency in your view as a DC Metropolitan Police officer in Washington, DC?
I mean, there's definitely crime in DC. I'm not going to say there's not. Whether it's bad or not depends on your point of view, your point of comparison. I don't think that anything in recent memory constitutes an emergency. I don't think that federalization offers any real benefits. I don't think that Trump's desire to take over DC law enforcement is born from any great concern over DC residents' safety. So yeah, there's crime, and you know, I'm grateful for any actual help we get, but this is not, I've not seen a whole lot of that happening.
Have you gotten any sort of SOP, standard operating procedures, any sort of procedural policy guidance about how to interface with National Guards members or how to work with, we've seen folks that appear to be FBI agents on the streets in DC doing what is termed generically as quality of life policing. Any directions about how to work with those folks that is different from your typical chain of command?
I personally have not gotten any policy updates, anything like that. I can't really speak to policy in my personal capacity.
Of course.
So, but there's, I know that the feds are working more with specific units. That's the extent of my knowledge there.
Specific units within MPD?
Correct.
So, and I would assume units with specific sort of purposes that may be more appropriately aligned for interfacing with federal governmental agencies. Those interfaces aren't themselves unusual. There are circumstances in any local police department's course of business where they will liaise and coordinate with federal law enforcement. Unless I'm mistaken, Officer Hodges, that's not unusual in and of itself.
Right. Yeah, we work with federal partners all the time, which is part of why this federalization order isn't really necessary. There's nothing about it. There's nothing about assigning federal resources to DC that requires federalization. You know, he could have done that at any time. The federalization is just so that, you know, he's in the headlines, he's in control.
Do you think that's the motivation here? Do you, and we've had President J.D., or not President, heaven help us, Vice President J.D. Vance today saying that this is the blueprint for numerous other cities across the country. Stephen Miller doubling down on that. They had some sort of press gaggle in Union Station today. What do you, is this just about getting headlines and appeasing the base in your view? Is there any practical benefit to this at all in your view?
I think that's a big part of it. I think that, you know, the federalization order has three big components to it, right? It's the assigning MPD officers to, you know, be assist the federal agencies with whatever they want. There's the military aspect, the National Guard, and there's, you know, the leadership, there's and the actual federal officers. So I served in the Virginia National Guard for 6 years. I can tell you that soldiers are not trained for law enforcement. Soldiers are trained to fight and win wars. They are trained to close with and destroy the enemy. We are not at war in DC. So and soldiers are not trained to conduct traffic stops. They're not trained in DC code. They're not trained to mediate family disputes. They're not, this isn't their lane. This isn't what they're here for. So all these National Guard troops are just going to be standing around and rolling around in their Humvees, not really contributing. They're just, it's a photo op for them. Well, not for them, but for their leadership, and political leadership. With regards to the federal officers, you know, some of them are going to have the skill sets necessary to help, but a lot of them are investigators. Their work is behind a desk, and they don't have the saturation of experience on the street to be immediately helpful in capacity for urban law enforcement. And then there's the leadership aspect, which is, you know, Donald Trump and his lieutenants sort of taking control over DC. And I really don't think Donald Trump or whoever he decides to be in command has any keen insight into the deployment of urban law enforcement resources that our own law enforcement leaders don't have. I don't know why he would think that, or I don't know why they believe that they would know better than our own people.
Yeah, that's it. Folks, if you're just joining us, we've got DC Metro Police Officer Daniel Hodges with us. Again, he's appearing in his personal capacity. I've got a number of friends who are cops with Milwaukee Police that have been cops for decades. And what I've heard from them is that police officers have an intimate familiarity with the communities, the street layouts, the different community members, the hotspots, all kinds of tools. And that, again, when you are of and by a community, when you work in that community for a long time, as well as the unique elements of urban policing that simply these folks from the federal government or National Guard don't have. And it sounds like that is a fair concern. It's just the familiarity and the different tools and tactics and elements of urban policing. We're going to come back. Officer Hodges is considered a hero of January 6th, and I'd like to get his thoughts on what actually makes a hero. We continue our discussion with DC Metropolitan Police Officer Daniel Hodges. Don't go anywhere. I'm Maggie Dawn, and you are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked.